Hey, we're Bricklayers Foundation.
And you are listening to
Notes and Bolts. Listening to the Notes and Bolts interview series. Today I'm here with three members of Bricklayers Foundation. How are y'all doing?
Doing great.
Very well, there, bro.
So what are your names?
I'm Adam.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Ross.
What do you do?
I play guitar and do vocals.
I play bass and sing vocals.
I play drums and I sing vocals.
So what's the history of the Bricklayers Foundation?
Well, basically, Adam and I grew up in Boston, actually. So our history goes way back to when we were in high school. And we were playing with this other friend of ours in this band. And it just wasn't really serious. And we wanted to just do something else and write our own songs.
Yeah, it was mostly like a recording project that we would just record in Ross's house and on his 4-track Tascam recorder and just kind of see what crazy stuff we could put together.
And so, yeah, I think we've had the name Bricklayers Foundation since that time. So it's kind of long running, which is a rarity in music generally. Everyone's changing their name all the time. I've definitely been party to that. But yeah, so we basically just did on and off at the end of high school and then through college when we'd meet up on breaks. We'd just see what each other had written and just throw it down to tape and just make a little package for ourselves and our friends and family and stuff, just for kicks, because why not, basically? We just enjoyed doing it, you know?
Yeah, and then after college, we kind of had a little break, but then I moved here in 2009, and we were just kind of hanging out. We thought, why don't we make a live band of Bricklayers? Like, why don't we get the band back together? So we've had various lineups throughout the years since 2009. And Jason, what year did you join?
That was 2010. I grew up in the Chicago suburbs, but I moved to Chicago spring 2010. I believe, Ross, I met you the first weekend I lived in the city at a house at Bloodline back when that house space was still doing shows. And I remember, like, people telling me, oh, this used to be a former speakeasy. Yeah. And so that's where how I remember first meeting you. And I think through another mutual friend who I primarily know, like, through Linus's party, we had talked. And, like, you guys were looking for a bass player at the time. So I mentioned, hey, if you guys want to play. So I was in, like, that, there's, like Adam said, there's been a bunch of, like, various lineups of Bricklayers Foundation. I was in a version of Bricklayers basically summer 2010. Then I was in a different band for a while called Costanza, and then I rejoined, not to jump ahead too far, but rejoined early last year.
Yeah, we've had kind of interesting history in Chicago because we basically started off playing with my roommates, you know, who kind of just, like, happened to be musicians. So we were like, well, we live in a house, we have a basement. It was like a converted bar in Bridgeport. And it was pretty rad. But it just didn't really hang together. And then we just had different lineups. And then the one thing that's kind of, that was constant with the band was that we've always had female lead vocalists in Chicago until now. So, you know, whereas in the past it was just Adam and I, you know, we had my roommates and then got a bunch of other people in and out of the band, and we still have our keyboard guru, Charlie, on standby. We love you and miss you, Charlie, but he likes to play on cruise ships.
Yeah.
So, for chunks out of the year, so he missed the whole crazy winter we had by being in the Bahamas, or Bermuda.
Playing with the Second City Troupe in the Bahamas.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, basically once the third singer quit, Keela, it was Ruth, Carrie, and Keela. And mm-hmm. Once Keela quit, it was just like, you know, it's too much trouble. Like, we just need to downsize. And so now we are a trio. And it's working out for us because, I don't know, I have this whole, like, theory of levels of complexity, that the number of people who are involved, if you, like, make a number out of it, it's like the square of however many people in the band. So complexity level of 1 is 1, you know. Complexity level of 2 is 4. 3 is 9. 4 is 16, and yeah. So on and so on, you know.
So live, we sound like a 9-piece is what you're saying.
I don't even know what I'm saying anymore, honestly. But we got here today, and, you know, we did an EP and a CD, and now we got a tape.
Yeah, I'd say the other constant is all through the years, Ross and I are, like, co-writers for all of our songs. So we always have people play the music with us, singers, bass players, keyboard players, but we always, like, write the songs together. But Jason also kind of gives us a lot of input, which is why he's sticking around and he's a good fit, too.
Do you feel like the downsizing has helped tighten up the songwriting? to have only three voices contributing as opposed to that fourth, which could maybe be a deal breaker.
Well, the other thing was too, I mean, it might have kind of tightened up our sound in the sense that it's way more stripped down, and so we're not trying to do as much, because we always write for whoever's in the band. So that's why all our stuff sounds a little bit different. It's because, you know, we're writing for female leads and writing all these melodies like way up high that we can't actually sing, you know, so we can't even really do those songs anymore, because even if we wanted to, which some of them we probably would, but
to give like a brief outsider's perspective for Maya, as someone who joined the band who didn't write any of the songs, the home recorded stuff in Boston I would compare to like very like Elephant Six, like lo-fi. Chips, their full EP that they did with a five-piece version of the band that came out of last year. Mm-hmm. But that I would compare at times to Fiery Furnaces. It's very keyboard driven, like complex chord progressions, but like very clean pop. Whereas with the three-piece lineup we have right now, I guess, you know, my bass tone is like a little distorted. We play a little faster, so I guess it's more akin to post-punk, you know, like one song that like of our upcoming tape, which I'm sure we'll talk about, reminds me a lot of like Wire, for example. So I think they have a very consistent like songwriting styles, but you know, the tempos and the arrangement shift. So there's continuity, but you know, there are some drastic like recording differences. We'll be right back.
back with Notes and Bolts. We have just heard In Any Way by The Thons, a wonderful, wonderful band. And Lost Otis by us, which is a really old recording from 2004 that we did in Boston. So I don't know if it qualifies actually for placement on this show, but but it's part of the history, so I thought we'd put it on.
That's sort of an example of the more lo-fi element you guys were talking about.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but I don't know, because what I did with the keyboard on that is I recorded them on the keyboard and then tried to play it along with the tape, and like you can hear the drums are like so like wavering in tempo, so I was just like going up and down, like trying to like on the tempo setting on the keyboard. But I wanted to do this like thing where, you know, some like Pet Sounds kind of thing, mm-hmm. where you just have like tons of voices mm-hmm. playing the same thing kind
of
deal.
Yeah, it's tricky. Like we said, we did a lot of four track recording, and we would always think of ways to kind of like up the ante and make it sound like there are 5-6 voices. So sometimes Ross and I would be playing the piano at the same time. Like I would be up high and he'd be down low, or we'd be recording like vocals while we're doing guitar recordings, which is very difficult. And other times we just do backwards recordings because we had a free track and we wanted to make it a little more interesting. But we had a lot of fun with that four track.
Yeah, but that's very indicative of a lot of those songs because we never had like a bass, so we'd always kind of just do without it. Wow, that's why it's nice like have bass along now mm-hmm. too. Having that low end is pretty important.
Over the last 10 years from the transition from one part of the country to the middle of it, what do you think has been the place that the Bricklayers Foundation has established in the Chicago music community?
We've been around a while. We're trying to always, you know, just keep doing things. And even from the beginning, we were never really in it for the recognition, more of just doing it. I think now, for some reason, Chicago has opened up its ears a little bit more. So I feel like when I first came to town, it was very cliquey and I didn't really know anyone at the time. But I think what happened was it's just everyone just played around so much. And even in extra, like, non-rock and roll projects. Non-rock and roll projects, such as Adam and I doing the Wes Perry show, making out with Wes Perry, and Charlie doing lots of theater gigs and stuff and playing at church.
Yeah, so there's also, like, from my perspective, I mean, Adam has a music composition degree, and Charlie, who plays keys for us, he does a lot of gigs at, say, the Annoyance Theater or Second City, because there's, like, a very specific niche for people who can, like, learn musicals or write musicals on the spot because of, like, the vibrant, you know, performance arts communities. So the three of them I never have, but there's a monthly variety show called Making Out with Wes Perry and Friends with, you know, music, sketch, comedy, drag. It started out, was at the Upstairs Gallery up mm-hmm. in Andersonville, and then recently relocated to a monthly residency at the Hideout. Mm-hmm. So I think that, like, there's, like, a lot of overlap with, like, those communities, like, a little bit outside of what maybe people would define as, like, you know, a given Chicago music community or rock community or something, like, purely derivative of, like, some sort of punk or indie rock context. So I think that definitely informs the songwriting. I do think we are, like, sort of, like, musically transitioned because we're doing a three-piece. I think we're finding a lot more bands the more we play that we definitely overlap with more.
That's true.
On a bill.
That's true. But also, we've been just trying to find our place for so long because we've always had, by the time a record was ready to come out, you know, the band would have broken up and we'd have new people. So you couldn't even really promote it. I mean, you could, but then you had a bunch of new songs and you just didn't want to. And you'd have to, before it was like, you know, after the first EP came out, it was like, oh, well, you know, it's a different singer now. And then after the album came out, it's like, oh, we don't have a female lead singer anymore. So now it's just like, we recorded our tape Computer Time with just the three of us. And so now it's like, mm-hmm. we can just go forward with confidence. Yeah. Like, we're all dedicated, we're sticking together, you know, we're going to do this. But I mean, that's actually kind of indicative, talking about Chicago scene, is that even the songs that I wanted to put on this, I couldn't really, because they're not recorded yet. You know, and I've just heard them live playing with bands at shows and stuff. And, you know, that's also kind of how I feel I can pick out like the real DIY musicians, because most likely, unless they're exceptionally talented, they're like not into doing art and putting together a package and like marketing and promoting it. I don't know. I guess I just kind of like the raw, real stuff, you know? And so in a way, non-packaging is almost a selling point for me, because I find it really difficult to do. I know, like, we all do, for sure. You know, it's a miracle that we've gotten anything out at all, honestly, but I don't know. And also because the software changed. Yeah. I used to use this old program. That was really, called AppleWorks. It was really easy to use, yeah. And they discontinued it in like 2006, and nothing has approached its ease of use since.
Yeah, cloud has ruined everything.
Yeah, all the consumer software is trying to be pro now. It's like, no, I liked the consumer product because I'm not a graphic designer. Yeah. I don't know how to like degauss this, nor do I care to. I just want to like put the thing on the thing and print it out, you know. Anyway, that was kind of sidetracked, but you know, I dig our place in the community. It's like we are just doing stuff, you know. We do, you know, want to get recognized, I guess, mm-hmm. to some degree, but mostly just for being good players.
Yeah,
and I think that's kind of happened anyway. So awesome. we made a lot of friends just like in a lot of different contexts, you know.
Also point out real quick, since I think it's related, Ross is also in a band called Mama. And so we'll double bill sometimes, but sometimes like the whole bill with us on it will be more of a fit for some of the Mama Bricklayers Foundation double bills and others. Like, they're always fun shows, but because like, you know, these two have like a very like distinct songwriting style, like even though sometimes it's faster, sometimes it's slower, but like a lot of like interesting like chord progressions, that sort of thing, that doesn't necessarily easily mesh with like a lot of bills. Or I've noticed like certain promoters will put us on like what they deem to be like, well, here's five seemingly weird bands, that's their shtick. And like we've played, like, I mean, we've had, those have been fun shows, but I think
it's kind of random though.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, because they don't know where to put us sometimes.
Yeah. It's just funny to think about where we started. Like, I think our first show in Chicago was like next to the Congress Theater.
Oh, it was so bad. It's like, you can see it online. Please don't.
We played another show, I think it's Subterranean. And then we started, like, it was hard for us to get shows for a while. And then we started playing at Township a bunch in Logan Square, which was great to just kind of get used to the experience and kind of learn what works and get used to the vocals and monitors and stuff. And we played Kohl's, which is great. We played Ace Bar. We played all over the place. We even played at Cafe Mustache in Logan Square, like a really stripped down, kind of quiet, more cafe sound. Whereas now, obviously, we're kind of more like punky threesome. But we just played all over the place. Just kind of, it's fun to get out there and meet people. And you can see that.
Hey! Hey!
song Marketing. It's about marketing. Poppers by Jollies from Young Camelot that they did live. So, and then
rest in peace, Young Camelot.
Well, they'll be back.
They'll be back in a different form. Rest in peace, Bouncy Loft.
Yeah, rest in peace, Slanty Shanty. But then you also heard a song from our first Chicago EP called You're My Best Friend. It's about loving yourself a lot.
Yeah, and I think you can kind of hear the contrast between, you know, You're My Best Friend and Marketing in terms of sound, where there's definitely similarities. And songwriting, I think you can pick up that these guys, you know, are consistent songwriters through and through, but, you know, obviously, you know, bit of a drastic shift in terms of like how it was actually produced, how it was actually arranged.
Going off of that talk about changing and sort of progression, how do the three of you kind of see yourselves growing?
Well, I mean, I'll say like I'm always consistently impressed with what these guys come up with. Like, a lot of the reason I'm in Bricklayers Foundation is that these guys are able to write amazing songs I've never heard before. I think if you get to like some level of self-styled music nerdery like I have, you can get the sense that like you've heard every song that's been written, you've heard every arrangement or every chord progression, every melody. And these guys continually come up with things that surprise me and like at the same time are very catchy. So I think that, you know, there's like, I always feel like there's unlimited potential with Bricklayers Foundation. And I think, you know, obviously, we're going to play a lot of like the Computer Time stuff, the tape that we'll be releasing soon, as well as, you know, there was like a few songs that we were already working on that we didn't have time to record during the session. So like, I'm very optimistic about, you know, from a songwriting aspect, and we'll just, you know, play more and more shows, meet more and more bands, and, you know, keep on chugging along.
Do you think that you'll ever look for a fourth person? Like, you'll ever maybe get restless and nostalgic for that time when there was a little bit more push and pull?
I mean, I'll say I enjoy having our dear friend Charlie on keyboards.
Yeah, Charlie's always part of the band. Like, right. Let's just put that down on the record right here. Like, Charlie is our, you know, just for the time being, is kind of our angel up high. He's watching over us from the cruise ship, you know? Like, he's always part of the band. He's too integral, really,
right?
And he's just got that same kind of, I don't know, outlook, you know, so it just meshes well with us.
Yeah, he's a great fit. So I like writing for keyboard as well. It just adds a little more depth to our sound, but at the same time, like we've said before, like, we've had people come into the band and they're sort of invested or they're sort of not, or like they're kind of a little iffy here and there, but like the three of us, like, we're in it. Like, we're ready to rock, we're ready to rehearse, we're ready to do whatever it takes to just get Bricklayers out there. So that's sometimes nicer than having an extra member who might be like half in, half out.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's like, if we're really good, people will want to be in the band, you know?
There you go.
So that's the challenge to us, you know? We just have to be good. We're trying, you know?
It really will be a 9-piece at that point.
Yeah.
Choosing your math will be an 81 factor. Piece.
Right, yeah.
But the possibilities,
the level
are
of complexity, I mean, gosh.
It's true.
Scheduling practice for that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's cool. We may get other people in the band, you know, we'll see. But the thing about this project is, I've always felt it could be anything.
Yeah.
Really. And like on our last album, I think we tried to do everything we know how to do almost. Mm-hmm. You hear it in the songs, but at this point we're just trying to be more focused, so we can say like, oh, this is what we're thinking about now. Mm-hmm. And just be more of the moment.
Yeah, and I think even there's even going to be a divergence between how we play the Computer Time songs live and how they are in the recording, because we did overdub some guitar parts and there are some like excellent leads, I think. Like, I mean, Marketing just played, but, you know, if we get to the point where we play these songs enough and we decide, okay, well, maybe we should add a second guitar player, or if, like, Charlie happens to be in town, he could easily do those parts keyboard-wise. So, like, you know, depending on the lineup, that might sound a little bit different, but it'll still be, like, quintessentially Bricklayers.
Where can folks go online to find all of your stuff?
Oh, we are all over social media. Bricklayersfoundation.bandcamp.com. We got a SoundCloud page, Tumblr.
And Facebook. Just, like, I don't know. You can find it all.
An exceptionally inactive MySpace page.
Right, if you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah. No one cares about that.
We're not on Twitter yet. I don't think we will.
But just to answer your other question, like, we are interested in going on tour. It's just, like, it's pretty difficult, obviously, with schedules and trying to figure stuff out. But I think that's the next logical step for us. Is, like, we like playing in Chicago, and we like getting to know these bands. But I would love to go to, I don't know, Madison or Milwaukee or Detroit or whatever. Just kind of more just because it'd be fun, but also just for more people to hear our sound. I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Well, thank y'all for being on today.
Thank you for having us.
And to check out past episodes of Notes and Bolts, you can go to notesandbolts.net. Make sure to check out Bricklayers Foundation the next time they play out. This has been the Notes and Bolts.